Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 67 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we wanted to talk about why your spouse also deserves a happy marriage. But before we get...
And how you can influence that.
Well, yeah. It's kind of your responsibility.
Yeah.
But first, a little bit of admin for those of you who follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
We also mentioned it briefly in last week's episode.
Yeah.
With Tony and Lisa. Because it's then we got the idea from.
Yeah. So basically, we're doing 30 Days of Sex Challenge for March, which is kind of an event. I don't know if that's what you'd call it, a challenge. That One Extraordinary Marriage kind of encourage people to do. They take part in challenges and they kind of encourage
their
community.
Well, they set the challenge and they do it. We're not doing it officially. Like, you can actually join them and they've got a private community and they send you positions every week and everything. I don't know if it's too late to get involved in that, but if you listen to our guests from last week, episode 66, that's who it is. We're doing an unofficial version where we aren't affiliated with it, but we just said
yeah,
we're up for having sex every day for a month.
We're trying to.
So the I don't think we've got into detail on the podcast. We have on our Instagram, and we'll have a story highlight on there that will kind of track everything. But I say everything, nothing too graphic.
No,
but
just kind of numbers.
Yeah, numbers. So the goal for us is we said it doesn't have to be full sex every day.
Mm-hmm.
We just said something every day, and that's kind of what we're working on. Anyway, we've done 5 out of 7.
Yeah, we've had some extenuating circumstances this week, unfortunately, but
it was a weird week because neither of us were really massively in the mood on any day, so we showed up, but I think that's kind of what we were anticipating, probably a bit later into it, but we knew that there would be times when we were too tired or we're not really in the mood or whatever, and how we would approach it. So it's interesting that we had that on week one.
Well, I think it's funny because, I mean, we've both been extremely busy at work for ever, basically, but I think even more busy lately. You have more of a commute, and then
we're back in the gym.
That's the thing, is we both really kind of, the same week that we started this challenge, we started kind of each of us separately doing our dedication to our diet and fitness and stuff. So that means more time in the kitchen prepping meals for the week. That means more time each evening exercising. And so for me, it has felt like, okay, get home from work, get in the gym, clean up, get dinner, make lunch, sit down. Oh, okay, now I've got to go off and do this. So it has been difficult. But also nice.
Yeah, and we kind of knew, it's called a challenge for a reason. It's not going to, I know, and we said if we were talking to ourselves when we were still long distance, we would have been like, this sounds brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening, and what are you talking about? How can it be difficult? But it is, because there's other things going on, and there are just days when you're tired or you don't feel like doing it or whatever. And but then I suppose for the people who don't understand why we'd be doing it if we're not in the mood and things, I wanted to see in particular, so we haven't really had much conversation about it, but one, if it impacted other areas of the relationship, if knowing that it's coming up in the evening encourages how you talk to each other in the day, if it may encourage on the days when we may not be as patient as we otherwise would be, does it help facilitate that? Would it make us, you know, feel closer and generally improve intimacy elsewhere, wasn't it, rather than just let's roll around in the sand?
And so far, I don't think any of that's really made a difference yet. I think that maybe we feel a bit closer, like a team. Anyways, that's not what the whole...
But if nothing, just to say on it, if nothing else, it does mean we're spending more time together, because it does mean it's like, oh, we, you know, let's have an early night, or let's go, and we fit time in, and it's time that we otherwise would maybe just be on our phones,
or doing our own individual things. Getting ready for work the next day, whatever.
So it's, it has definitely helped us just
pay more together attention.
So that's a little update, and we will keep updating it. But if you want to follow along a bit more closely, follow us on Instagram at Mr. Mrs. Distance, or you can just search From Long Distance to Marriage and we should come up, and we'll be doing we'll be doing occasional story updates on it.
Yes.
So on to this week's topic.
Your partner deserves a happy marriage too. Or, well, spouse deserves a happy marriage, your partner deserves a happy relationship if you're not married already. So I think this kind of has been inspired by just...
observation.
Yes, relationships around us where it sometimes seems like people need to get permission to do the things that make them happy. And then when they do that, it becomes grief for them. And permission, you know, for me and Rich, that means, oh, hey, just so you know, I'm going to see so-and-so, or I'm going to do this on Saturday. Does that interfere with any plans we've made? Nope. Okay, well, I'm going to go out and do that. Cool. Okay. But obviously other relationships might have things like children involved and, you know, where yeah. It is, you do kind of, hey, are you cool with the kids while I go off and do this?
But yeah, so I think that, yeah, we have to caveat with that, that not everyone can have it quite as easy as us, but the principle's the same. And I think, you know, for people who do have kids, this is where, I'm reluctant to say they go wrong. You know, I don't want to sound judgy about it, but I think it's certainly something I've observed that it seems to be more prevalent. But, you know, we've spoken before, and I think this really ties in with it, we've spoken before about how they don't complete you, they complement you and all this. You know, there's
partner, not
your,
kids.
Your partner. And there's a tendency for people to say, like, oh, you know, we say we're a team, and other people say, like, oh, you know, we are one. Like, you're not one, you're still two, and you've come together to make a third thing that's brilliant, but you're still your two individual selves. So this whole thing of, like, you know, your partner deserves a happy relationship too, I think the mentality of, you know, oh, we are one or whatever, it can really, you can kind of take for granted they still have things they want to do. There are still things that make them happy. There are things that make them unhappy. And I think where kids in particular really change the dynamic is you can fall into this trap of thinking they're the only focus. If you're out doing that, then what about the kids? And I think some great advice that we see from people like Tony and Elisa from One Extraordinary Marriage and other, you know, long-term relationship podcasts and resources is the kids shouldn't come first. Your top priority should be your marriage, which creates that great environment for the kids. Whereas if you put your kids first, it means your marriage comes second, and then that has a domino effect that the fallout of that affects the kids negatively. So you're kind of putting them first by putting them second, if that makes sense. So, to bring it back to the topic of the week, it's really to say, you know, if you need to have the understanding of what your partner wants to do and why, sure, there are going to be times you say, actually, that's not going to work because of this, but they shouldn't be made to feel guilty for wanting to do something. They shouldn't be made to feel guilty or like they owe you or they owe the kids or whatever, because they spent an hour doing something that they needed to do. And I think that also goes back to one of our earlier episodes on tit for tat and not to keep score, which is something that we've certainly seen multiple times. Well, yeah, you do that, so now it's your turn to do this. And so we want to just talk about how you have a role to play in making your partner also enjoy their marriage.
Yeah, and I think back to what you said a minute ago about kind of, you know, giving your children a good example of what, I guess giving your children a good environment by making sure both parents are happy, and part of that means making sure that you have a good relationship together still. So, yes, it's sure, it's very easy for us to say this. We don't have children, but...
But kids are in our lives.
Kids are in our lives, first of all, and, you know, I think we are kind of open-minded and quite... We have a lot of common sense, you know, I think...
Yeah.
You know, so sure, our opinion may not be as valid as a parent's, but that doesn't mean our opinion's not still valid on it or ideas. And it reminded me what you were saying a minute ago, that I saw something pop up on Facebook, one of those kind of little, kind of picture word, not a meme, but like a quote thing. Yeah. That was very beautifully spoken, yeah. Andrea. And it was something like, you know, I think it was like from a mother or a wife to a husband, you know, let them see you hug me, let them see you bring me flowers, let them see you take me out on dates, let them see me make a loving meal for you. And so it's all about, you know, giving that example of that environment and what a marriage should be. And I think, you know, thinking back on my parents, you know, we never saw them fight. So even though they maybe weren't, you know, the most lovey-dovey parents, you know, like some families, you know, oh, my parents, I was walked in on them.
Yeah, yeah.
It was never anything like that, but it was always very respectful of each other. And I think...
Whereas I did see the fights. Not the fights, but there are arguments and disagreements. Yeah.
And I think whether that's made either of us in a better position, I don't know, but it does mean that we bring two different perspectives to our marriage. And so, yeah, you probably saw a lot more kind of harsh language towards one another than I did.
Well, I mean, we were protected from harsh language, but we saw...
Well, I mean, like, the argumentative, I don't understand.
Yeah, but I think we need to be careful with where we're going in this episode, that we're not saying parents shouldn't disagree, or, you know, you shouldn't argue with your spouse.
No, like, but
that will still happen.
Yeah.
But
it's being respectful.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think the long and short of this episode, it does come down to respect, and I think the examples can be numerous, and it's to the point where there's maybe not even a purpose in giving one. But if you're listening to this, just think, what are your husband or wife or boyfriend, girlfriend's interests and hobbies, and does it ever mean they need to go out of the house? And if your response is, oh, I don't want you to go out of the house, just think, is that reasonable? Just think, actually, do you know what? How long are they going to be gone? There's a huge difference between going out for an hour or 2 hours and having a week away with their friends, or coming home steaming drunk. Like, you know, so your response needs to be proportionate to what it is they want to do. And what does you saying no mean? Or are you saying yes, but it's quite clear that you don't want to, and it makes them feel like they can't enjoy it because it's, oh, you said yes, but you don't mean yes, and you know what, exactly. This isn't going to be worth the grief, and I'm going to have to deal with this later on. And, you know, so that's not the way to build or maintain a happy relationship. You know, a person is happy in a relationship when it adds something to their life. And, yep, obviously there's give and take in that. Doesn't mean you can do everything you want, and you get to do everything you want, and both you do whatever you want all the time. But generally, a relationship needs to be a net positive.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, not many people are going to stick around for very long. And part of that means, yes, you're allowed to say no, or, you know what, I'd rather you didn't do it this time because of this. But if you always say no, or you're always making it a problem, you're making them having to fight for it, like the Beastie Boys, then...
fight for their rights to party?
Then, you know, I think that warrants some introspection.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to think about why you're inclined to... or why maybe they're inclined to say no to you, or vice versa. Is it because you genuinely need their help with something, in which case that's fair? Is it because you resent that they're getting a break and you really feel like you need a break? Well, no, that's not really fair. And that might mean, hey, yeah, like, that's cool. If you want to go to the football game with your friends, like, that's fine. But you know what? Would you be able to take the kids or deal with this responsibility, whatever it is you may have, tomorrow morning? Because I could really go out, deal with going out for brunch with my friends. And I think, you know, if you're denying your partner something that makes them happy because you're frustrated, because you're tired, or you're struggling with something, that's not really fair. And something that we promote kind of with 100% is that you need to be in a good place, and you need to be happy to give the best that you can to your partner. It makes you a better person, and it makes you a better spouse then, or partner.
Yeah, I think you made a really good point there, is if you're saying no because...
out of spite.
Out of spite, yeah, but also because, well, that's not fair because what about my... Then use the opportunity, like, use it as an opportunity to say, when they get back, sit down and say, did you have a good time? I hope you really enjoyed that. It got me thinking, by the way, you know, I've not had any time out of the house. You know, would you be able to look after this, and I'm going to go for a massage, or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is you want to do. Use it as a bit of a springboard in an open, because they're going to feel pretty receptive. They're going to be able to think, oh yeah, I did go. Yeah, you're right. You haven't gone out, and I did enjoy myself, and you do deserve that. But if you say, you're not going out, I never get to go out, you're going to argue.
Yeah.
No, all it's going to mean is both of you are unhappy, both of you are stuck in the house, you have the resentment.
And I think the thing too is that sometimes people are so unaware of their tone towards their partner. And sometimes it takes an outsider, whether that's a friend or a family member, to say, oh, you know, you sounded really short and snappy just then when you were talking to your partner. Like,
well, this is why I think it's harder if you're in a relationship that already, you know, not necessarily on rocky ground, but if you've got to a point where you're already in the phase of you're saying no to each other, or there's that difficulty and everything, then you're kind of starting from a slightly negative position rather than from zero, because you have to do a little bit of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's, you know, if you're listening to this early on in a relationship, you can, you know, embed good habits from the off. So yeah, if you're at that point, you're probably going to have that tone. You're already going to be in defense mode. You're going to be expecting them to be wanting this, or you're going to be, you may, they may be saying it perfectly innocuously and with good intentions, but you're going to hear it in a more negative way, and it may even be like, oh, well, you want to get away from me now. Like,
when I'm talking,
it can get very toxic very quickly.
When I'm talking about tone, I'm not just talking about when your partner says they need some, you know, want to go off and do something.
No, I know, you mean their vocal tone.
Just throughout.
Sounds harsh or
just throughout
combative.
Their marriage, yeah. And I think it's, I think that's almost more of an important thing than just making sure that people get the time they need to do the things that they enjoy. But it's also, you know, people don't deserve to be talked to like shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a period of time where I didn't realize that my tone with you was like that. There's been periods of time where you didn't realize that your tone towards me was like that. And it can be hard for that to be flagged up at. You say, you know, you're talking to me really horribly.
Yeah, because it take. Yeah, that's a good point. Is just because they haven't told you that, it can take a degree of confidence to say it. Because they may think, well, there's no point in mentioning it, that it's going to be an argument, or you won't believe. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
If you foster that negative atmosphere, they may not mention it. So you do need to, you kind of need to self-audit a little bit.
And it's something that takes time to learn, too, how your partner appreciates being spoken to. And part of that is speaking to them about it. Like, you know, look, I didn't mean to upset you the other day. I noticed when I said this, you reacted really badly. Can you explain to me why that was? I don't want to trigger that reaction in you. And the other part is just learning about your partner over time being together. And, well, I know if I say this, that's going to push his buttons, so I should avoid that. And, you know, I know that if I say something like this, that she responds better. So maybe that's what I'll do going forward. So, you know, it is really important. And all of this ties back to providing your partner with a better marriage. And something that, you know, to take words out of Rich's mouth, that, you know, you said this in multiple episodes, that, you know, someone choosing to spend their life with you and wanting to be with you is a privilege. And vice versa, you saying, yeah, I want to spend my life with you, that's a privilege to them. It's an honor. You know, that's, you know, there's debates as to whether or not humans should be a monogamous species.
Yeah.
So to do that, it means a lot. It's not just a wedding. It's all kinds of things. In a way, because someone has chosen you, it's your responsibility to contribute positively towards their life and their happiness. And it goes, you know, the road goes both ways. It's theirs to yours. What's not going to contribute to them having a happy marriage with you is speaking to them in tones that are disrespectful, nagging, scathing, condescending, snappy, short, nasty.
Yeah, and you made a point there that, you know, if you learn over time what sets them off and stuff, and so we covered in episode 17, is arguing healthy? We made the point that there are benefits to arguing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look out for the lessons in them, and, you know, for us, it was learning, if I say that, if I say it that way, or that phrase, that's going to trigger an argument. So we avoid that.
Or save it for when it's really important.
Yeah. But, you know, so, you know, we think arguing can be healthy long term if you're willing and able to sort of, you know, it almost evaluate. I mean, we don't sit down with a notepad at the end of an argument and say, right, okay, how did that go? But you have when you keep arguing over the same thing, not even the same thing, but if you keep, like, we would defend ourselves the same way. Like, well, the big one for us used to be swearing, because I would just sort of swear out of frustration or to fill that gap, and you'd take it like, don't swear at me. And I said, well, I'm not swearing at you, I'm just swearing. And that doesn't really happen anymore. And it's a mixture
probably
of, I stopped a little bit and you kind of understood. But we don't really argue much anymore anyway. We mentioned that in the episode, that we kind of did a lot of arguing and we learned a lot of lessons, and now we're much more, I say almost competent in how we talk. But
also, we still do say nasty things, or, you know, something will come across as snappy, but we've also learned how to react to that. So if you say something snappy to me, my response, instead of launching into an argument with you, might be, whoa, why are you...
Oh, yeah, we're much more... So it works both
ways. We don't get baited as easily,
yeah, we've both changed in both ways. So we both changed how we talk, and we both adjusted how we react. And it kind of... Because the benefit of that, or the positive of that, is it allows both of us to have that freedom. If we're just having a fucking moody day, we might say something that 10 years ago would have triggered an argument.
Well, and I think
now it's like, oh, you know, I didn't mean that. Or thanks for not launching onto that. I didn't mean it. Do you know what I mean? It's not necessarily aimed at each other. I think we don't really aim things at each other, but it's more like, what's with your tone? What's with your choice of words? Whatever. Now, like you said, we're much more measured. But we did that by having the arguments, realizing and recognizing certain patterns or things and adjusting it.
And that was very difficult as well because, you know, not to put any blame anywhere, but, you know, you came from a place where you saw arguments. I came from a place where I didn't. So coming together,
yeah,
where, you know, I mean, that's not to say I'm not argumentative or I don't...
No, but you didn't see it.
But I didn't see it. So I didn't really know what that looked like in a marriage. And so maybe where that was kind of your more natural...
But I think it's important to say at this point, one of my big bugbears, and I think this is testament to it, what we've just said, is that we both of us learned and adapted in what we say and how we respond. Too many people nowadays hide behind, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
You know, this, if you can't accept it, you know, whatever.
Was if you don't love me at my Britney, you don't deserve me at my whatever.
You know,
like.
Yeah, but, you know, people hide behind, well, that's just the way I am. And it's like, no, it's not. You have the capacity to learn. If you don't think you have the capacity to learn and change, you don't deserve anyone because.
Well, you're also going to be the same. You know, that's, you know, saying that's just how I am. You know, everyone evolves. You don't react to things the same way you did when you were 8 years old and you lay down on the ground and throw a tantrum.
To me, it means you don't feel like you need to make an effort or you think you're so perfect that there's nothing for you to change or you feel like you're incapable or it's not important enough to you. And I really hate it. I think it's one thing to say it in jest, but it has reached that point in our society now where it's just become such a...
an excuse.
It's an excuse, but it's said in a really jokey way and it's... But it has really, really sort of toxic undertones.
Not
always, and you know, sure, you can say it as a joke and you know, whatever, but and to an extent it's true. I'm not going to say you need to stop enjoying that thing that you're really into because I don't like it. You can say, well, look, I like this appeals to my sense of humor, but that's not what this is about. This is about, you know, well, I'm always going to talk to you like that because this is how I am. And yeah. It's not.
And, you know, it's we talked about in another episode, you know, growing together versus growing apart. And, you know, if you're not growing and evolving as people and then as a couple, what point is there to any of it? I mean, if you plan to be together with this person...
Yeah, one of you is going to grow.
Yeah, and the other both one, of you are, really.
Yeah, but if one of you isn't... but, you know, going back a little bit to what you started to say earlier on, that your partner deserves a happy relationship as well... Everyone wants to be happy and everyone deserves to be happy. And if we're going to seek out happiness either way. So I think if you're not a net benefit to them, then long term, if that's not changing and there's no signs of changing, all you're really asking for that relationship to end.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think anyone wants to be with someone unhappy. You know, you want to see your partner really happy and enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the equation, no one wants to be with someone who makes them unhappy. So if you're in an unhappy relationship, you're one of two people, or both. You're either the unhappy one, or you're potentially the facilitator of the other person's unhappiness. Now, I want to qualify that. You know, they may be unhappy not because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they suffer from depression. Maybe they've got other things going on in their lives. But what I mean is, in the specific context of this episode, if they're unhappy because of the relationship dynamics, you have a part to play in that.
Yeah.
And if you don't recognise it, if you don't understand the importance of that, you can't expect them to stick around for 60 years.
Yeah.
They will eventually seek out their happiness.
And it's also, you know, it's also important to highlight, though, that while... If your partner's unhappy in your relationship or your marriage, you have a part to play in that. Now, it's not 100% necessarily that person's fault or responsibility. If, you know, if I'm doing something to you that makes you really unhappy, or I'm being away in our relationship makes you really unhappy, and it's not brought to my attention, you know, or it's, you know, you've been doing this and it really makes me unhappy, like... You know, we're not mind readers. And yeah, being shitty, you should realize you're being shitty. But it depends on each situation. All I'm saying is that each partner has a responsibility to take care of their partner, but also speak up in terms of what they need.
But I want us to be very clear on this, because I don't want us to get a bunch of comments and emails from people who think we're talking about, you know, they're us. One, it's not your responsibility to fix the other person, for one. So we're not saying that. We're not saying if they're depressed or they've got other things in their life that are the reason they aren't as happy as they perhaps could be. We're not saying that you're responsible for that. You know, all those factors to one side, what we're talking about is if the dynamics between the two of you could be better. So we just want to make sure that's really, really clear and not, well, you know what, my marriage ended because past trauma they had and it was out of my control.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that.
Right.
You know, we are talking about if they come in, you go, oh, why the fuck didn't you do this? You're not facilitating a happy environment. And they're not going to respond in a, oh, I'm really sorry, let me take care of that now. They're going to respond with, well, fuck you, I've just walked through the door. Why can't we talk about this? And we've been there. Mm-hmm. We've had that argument. We learned from experience on that one. But that's the context we're talking about. So, you know...
But also, in that situation...
Yeah.
When... And this all ties in together, you know, your partner deserving a happy marriage. If you come home and your partner, why the fuck didn't you do this? Or why did you do this? I told you, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's not the right way to handle it. But is it something that they've been asking you to do for years and years and years and you just won't fucking listen to them?
Then you're still allowed a breaking point.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is, you know.
But then that comes back to the example I gave earlier where in this position, you're either the unhappy one or you're the one who's causing the unhappiness. Mm-hmm. So it comes back to that self-awareness of if your wife or whoever has been really politely asking you, oh, when are you going to... I suppose you've been asking me to put that little screw into the toilet.
Yeah, when are you going to do that?
Because it's tiny and it's now hidden in a candle, I forget about it.
I didn't do that, the cleaning lady did.
But for anyone listening to this, so our toilet holder is on the wall. It's not like it needs to be assembled. It's on the wall and it stays on the wall, but the little tiny screw that goes underneath to just, you know, keep secure it tight... It. ...came out.
Two months ago.
Yeah, 2 months ago. But because it's still on the wall, I don't think about it. So this is an example that, you know...
Came off the other day.
Did it?
Yeah, I don't even know... The screw doesn't have any... I don't know how to fix it, is what I'm coming down to.
Yeah, the hole's underneath, the screw's off. So I don't see it, so I forget about it. But it's a good example because in that scenario, it is me that hasn't done it. And you have so far... Largely been quite polite.
Oh, I've been very polite about it. Don't say largely. I've been like, oh, so, I thought you were going to do this.
Yeah, you've had a couple of sarcastic moments.
No, I haven't.
But nothing unpleasant. But, you know, so in that position, if we're just being open and transparent about it, I'm the facilitator of the unhappiness in this position. So if there came a point where you snapped and you reached your breaking point, it would be unjustified of me to run and go, whoa, don't talk to me like that. Yeah. Where's my warning? Where, you know, because we've had... Apparently, a 2 month.
2 months of warning.
So, you know, that it's a good example, actually.
But, you know, it may seem quite petty, but it could mean that maybe I'm in a rush to get to work one morning and I go to reach for toilet roll and it falls down. And then I, you know, like, it's easy to see how little things that are left unaccounted for.
But let's give a flip example. A big thing. Because we did an episode recently about the importance of the little things. And we both have electric toothbrushes. I'm going to go with this the recent example.
You're very proud of yourself.
Well, it's not that I'm proud of it. I didn't think about it. And I think that's like the key thing to mention is things you don't think about. So we only have the one socket to charge it. And mine was almost done, in fairness. But you saw I wanted to charge mine. Mine was plugged in.
Mine was completely dead.
Yours was completely dead. And mine was... But you went to bed.
I just said... Oh, I was like, oh, can I charge this? And he was like... Oh, well, mine's charging. I was like, well, yours almost done. And you're like, oh, I think so. And I was like, oh, okay. Didn't say anything else. I just set my toothbrush down, thought I'll use a manual one tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we didn't argue about this. That was literally the end of the comment. But anyway, so you left the bathroom before I did, went to bed. And I switched them around so that I plugged yours in. And like I said, I didn't think anything. I didn't think I'm going to get brownie points. It was just, it seemed like the right thing to do. And then, you know, was it the next morning when you noticed? It obviously meant a lot to you. And it was the first thing you meant to me when I woke up. And, you know, you said the little things are really important. And so, you know, that's the opposite example of there are little things that become big things because they're not done and they become what we've spoken about before, this like where they become this point of attrition where you can't not argue about it and it causes so much resentment. But then on the other hand, you can do these so small, they feel meaningless to you doing it, things that actually make the other person feel a little bit more valued or like you're being thought of or...
So if you look at that,
it meant you could have a nice, it meant your teeth could feel nice the next morning rather than, you know.
So if you look at that and kind of deconstruct that, you doing something as simple as taking your toothbrush off the charger and putting mine on when all I said was, oh, can I charge mine? Oh, well, mine's charging. Oh, okay. And that, and then you doing it added value to my life the next day.
It was a net benefit.
Yeah, so it wasn't like I was running around singing his praises all day, but I, you know, I went in, we have a kind of an almost transparent mirror thing, and I could see that mine was in the cabinet flashing, that it was charging, and I thought, oh, he's put my toothbrush on to charge.
That's
really nice. Now I can, you know, have optimally clean teeth today rather than just average with my manual toothbrush.
Yeah, and it's not like you would have been cursing my name if I hadn't done it. It wasn't an argument.
You hadn't expected me to do it. But now let's flip this around. So say I had said, oh, well, I really need that in the morning. Could you put on the charger when you're done?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fine. Okay.
And then I didn't.
I go to bed. The next morning, I'm expecting to go in there with my toothbrush, and you hadn't done it. Especially if this has been something I've been asking you to do continually.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, this is exactly the kind of scenario that we're in a good place. I did it. Thank you very much. That's really nice of you. And we both go.
Yeah.
If we're in a position where we weren't really getting on, and we're a little bit prickly towards each other, and maybe one of us went up with the kids or the night, you know, that, those kind of scenarios.
Okay, what kids?
I'm talking about if we were other people.
Oh, if we were other people.
If we had children. But I'm just,
can you bring the dogs?
I'm saying for the people listening, though, who said, well, you know, I was up in the night with the kids, and then I just couldn't clean my teeth. And the little things add up. So if you're in that position where, like I said, I suppose if you're just a little bit more prickly with each other, that's exactly the kind of scenario where you'd come in and go, I can't believe you didn't plug my toothbrush in last night. Now I've got to use a manual.
How difficult is it to...
It would have taken you 5 seconds to change that. You know, it can really easily cause an argument when it didn't need to. And this is what I meant at the beginning when I said, if you're in that position already, then you've got to come back to zero from negative to then start working on the positive. And it's not that that's particularly... It's not difficult. Like, I'm not saying it will be done overnight, and it's not a hard thing to maintain or to... You get to that point, you know, where you kind of have so much animosity and resentment to someone that when they're being really nice, you're still on the back foot. You're still like... Well, when you've had an argument and the other person tries something nice and you don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have... I mean, it's not difficult in terms of the actions you have to take, but it will take time. It will take both of you being committed to doing it. You have to come from -2 or -3 to get to zero and then get to +2 or +3. But the actions are the same, and ultimately it comes down to showing a little bit of consideration and appreciation for the other person. So to go back to... You know, your partner deserves a happy marriage too, and your role in playing the role you play in that. I mean, let's say that he wanted to go to watch the football game, and it meant you were going to be on your own with the kids, and your response to that was, "You can't go to that. I'm going to be on my own with the kids." The question to ask yourself is, how big a deal is that? Genuinely, maybe it's a huge deal, and that's fine. That's a conversation.
Maybe all the kids are sick. Maybe
Maybe it's a huge deal. So there are a couple of questions to ask. One. Well, is this a big deal? Is he going to be gone for an hour and it's going to be a little bit inconvenient for me, but it's going to be okay. He's going to be gone all day and they're sick and there's 5 of them and I can't physically cope. If it's the former, let him go. You're going to have a better day. Both of you are going to have a better day for it. And then you can turn around and say, do you know what? I hope you really enjoyed that. I actually wouldn't mind getting out for an hour or two. I kind of feel like I need something. Yeah. He's going to be more receptive to that and say, yeah, that's totally fair. I'll look after the kids. You go and do that. You go and see your friends. If it's, I can't go, then I think it depends a little bit more on the scenario. Is it, this is just every Sunday and it means he misses one? Fine, he can miss one. If it's, no, it's like a huge cup final and I have to be there and it's a big event with friends I've not seen in 10 years and it has much, the magnitude's greater, then... Is there something else you can do? Can you say, do you know what? I'll suck it up today, but...
Or can someone else come help you?
And that's what I was going to say is, well, do you know what? I'll call the babysitter, see if we can do this together. I'll see if my mum's available. I'll see if, you know, you call on your support network. But just see if there's anything you can do. And if he sees you making the effort of, do you know, this can be really tricky, but I'll see if I can fix it. Or not fix it, but, you know, I'll see if there's anything we can do and you can't. It's probably still going to be an overall positive. Because, like, do you know what? I'm really sorry, guys, I can't come today. We've tried everything. But it's going to be a more positive situation. But I think a lot of people's default is, no. If I'm in with the kids, you're in with the kids. Like, this is not fair.
And I really think, you know, I we're big fans of Armchair Expert, which is Dax Shepard's podcast. He's married to the actress Kristen Bell. He's an actor himself. And I can't remember if she was on an episode or what it was, but...
She was on an episode.
Yeah, but she's been on a couple, but I can't remember where I heard her say this. Maybe she... I think she was actually on someone else's podcast. But anyways, they're very open in that they put a lot of work into their marriage. Yes, they're this dazzling Hollywood couple, but they've been going to therapy since they were together, like from the first couple months they were together. They really practice how they speak to one another and all this kind of stuff. And something she said I found really interesting, I don't think I even mentioned it to you, that once they decided that they were on the same team, you know, that this wasn't a me versus you, this isn't us and what's going to add to that, things change dramatically. So if you are, let's go back to the same situation, all five kids are sick, it's, you know, a big cup final, whatever, he wants to go to the game, you're stuck at home with the kids, and it's, okay, we're a team. So that does mean that you, as, you know, the person who's maybe going to be stuck at home, I really want you to experience this, because I don't know if this is going to be really good for you. Think about it. If he's happy, if he's coming from a good place, he's had an enjoyable experience, that's good. You're on the same team.
And you want putting marriage first. Yes. And the kids benefit from that.
But then to say also, he going to the football game should say, oh shoot, like, are you the kids are all sick. Are you okay for me to do this? Should I call my mom? Do you need help? Like, I really want to go. Is there something I can do to make the situation easier for you? So it's not just, I want to go, stomp my feet.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
you both need to be finding the solutions for both of you.
Yes, if he can say, yeah, I mean, that's just a couple of memory touched this because we were talking more about what you can do to help them have a happy relationship. But that you're right, that's absolutely true. If you can say, I want to do this, what is the problem you're going to face and how can I solve it? But I think a good question to ask is, There are some things in life that you would never expect that person to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say they had Super Bowl tickets or something of that.
They're in their best friend's wedding.
Or something of that magnitude where it's, I can't ask you to cancel that. Can you, in that scenario, you would find a solution?
Oh, we have a perfect example for this.
Go on.
Guns N' Roses had their first reunion tour a few years ago. And it was just right after the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester was bombed. It was like 2 months after. And I was petrified of you going to that arena. But I also know that the first music video you ever remember seeing at like 5 years old was November Rain. And it's, you know, the band that you've been obsessed with, your idol.
I was going
to
go.
Yeah, there was no way for you to not go. And we did talk about it. I said, you know,
it was on my mind, you know, and
you were concerned about it too.
There was a friend of mine that was going, and he lives at the other end of the country where they weren't playing. So he was coming down to London, and we had the conversation of like
safety,
safety, and we both. I mean, he was much more like, "Yeah, it's on my mind, but you're going to die sometime. Like, I'm going," and I was a bit more. I don't know what the word is, but I was just a bit more like, "Well, I don't want to die, but you know what." Things are always...
don't want to die.
Things are always safest just after something has happened. Like, the security that was night heightened. Was out of this
world. So, we talked a lot about this, though. And I said, you know, what do you think about the concert? I know, I wasn't going. This was a guy's night out.
You never said to me, you're not going.
No,
You made your fear and concern known, and we spoke about it.
Yeah, and I said, you know, I'm not going to ask you not to go to this event.
But
this is...
I don't mean to interrupt, but I think this is important.
You always do.
But this is important for the episode of an example of how to communicate.
Yeah.
Because you approached me about it, and it was already on my mind, but the way the conversation began was as a concern. Like, you know, I can't exactly what you said, but it was the effect of, you know, like you said, what you think about this, I'm a little bit concerned. I wouldn't ask you not to go, but... And so I'm much more likely to open and say, do you know what it is on my mind? I am thinking. But if you'd come to me and said, there's no way you're going to that concert, and you treat me like a child, I'm going to respond like a child.
So I came to you and said, look, what are your thoughts on this? Has this, you know, has this put you off at all? I'm not going to ask you not to go. I know.
But if the
this
life would insurance be, weird.
This would, it happened, wasn't at that point. If this would be like inviting Tom Petty to dinner for me, like, I understood how important this was to you. It was all the original lineup. You were going with your friends. It was a great venue. Like, there was no way I wasn't asking you to go.
And I'd had tickets for quite a while.
Yeah, you'd booked it ages ago. And, you know, we talked about it and you said, I don't think I can not go. And even though I didn't really like that answer from a safety point of view, I understood it and I accepted it as a, this is my husband. He's a grown ass man. He's going to make his decisions. And also this is something, this isn't like he was just going to go to, you know, a live music night somewhere that wasn't really a big deal. This was something he'd wanted his entire life. But
I think also, this is where I think respect comes in. I think you trust that I tend to evaluate things.
And you are, you're very safety conscious. And I knew that.
And you knew that, you know.
If you thought it was okay, I knew that that probably meant it would be okay.
Yeah.
But we did compromise. I said, I need you. There was
more communication.
I said, I need you to have your phone on the whole time. I need you to make sure that your battery doesn't die. So don't. Well, you're not one of those idiots that sits there and film, watches a concert through their phone.
Do you know what, though? Because there was, I think it's like a 60,000 capacity venue, and there wasn't much signal. So I was watching my battery deplete. So by the time we left, my battery was at 1. I was like, fuck.
But you said, like, I'm on the train, or whatever it was. Yeah, or I'm back.
So I let you know I'd got there.
If I messaged you throughout the concert, you responded, and a couple times you said, like, oh, you know, you were in contact with me. Everything seems fine. Security seems good.
And you weren't badgering me.
No, no, no. But I still went. I think I went over to your sister's house because
you didn't want to be on your own.
And I think your mom was there too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So your sister was worried because
my mom was at the concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't with us, but she was at the another same seats. Concert. Yeah.
And so, you know, your sister's
she's thinking half my family could
She's even more of a warrior than I am. She's more neurotic about this stuff than I am. But I thought, I don't want to be sitting alone at home thinking about this, waiting for you to come back to my text messages. I'm going to be worried. So I went to your sister's house and we just had an evening together. You know, the kids were awake for a bit. We played with the kid. Like, you know, I think I handled that really, not to toot my own horn.
No, you did.
But if I had sat at home, it would have been 10 times worse.
But let's, there's something I want to come back to, because I wanted to give the example of things that you'd never ask someone to cancel. So let's just put a pin in that. But also, I want to talk about how I handled it. Again, not to toot my own horn, but to give an example of, we had very constructive dialogue around
it. And mature.
So, okay, you said, I need a bit more communication for you. I said, that's fine. That is reasonable. It wouldn't have been reasonable if you would text me for 2 minutes.
To put that in perspective, though, typically when we're spending an evening or a day apart, we don't communicate that much.
No.
We're
not those couples who are like, oh, I've just got to check in, I've got to do this and that. We're not like that.
It will be like, I might text you, are you having a good time? Yeah, I'm having a great time. Okay, what time do you think you'd be
off? But if I don't reply, it's not, why aren't you replying straight away?
Yeah.
We're not like that.
We very much give each other our independence and time.
But so, with the event, you said, you know, I need to make sure so I'm not worrying. And I said, that's fair, that's totally reasonable. It wouldn't have been if you were taking over 2 minutes.
No.
Are you still alive? Is anything going on? What's it like? And I didn't have to bat. And, you know, I was there to enjoy the event.
But you also, you know, to give another, you know, badge of merit to how you handled that, when you got there and said, there's so many people here, signal's not good because of that. Yeah, I
set your expectations.
Don't worry if I don't come back to you straight away, please. Like, I'll do my best.
It's also loud. Like, I'm not going to hear my phone. You don't always feel vibrations. It was when I had to check. So maybe it took me 45 minutes to reply, but I'd set that expectation that, look, I'll check my phone and I'll reply to you as much as I can. But what I was going to say was, one, you kind of made it easier to be agreeable because you said, just check in occasionally, and I'll, you know, whenever you see your phone. It wasn't, you weren't hounding me for updates.
I think I did say, can you text me every half hour? And you said,
did,
I would
and
try.
I said, I can't promise I can do that.
And you probably, for the most part, did.
Yeah, and I said, I can't promise. One, like, I'm not watching my watch.
Yeah.
Two, there may be no signal. Three, I may lose my phone. I didn't want to set a promise that I couldn't know I could keep. But on the other side of that, because of the way you approached it, made it easier for me. But there are people who would say, no, I'm not checking with you. I'm there to enjoy my night. I'm not, you know, so there was an element of
give and take.
Yeah, I don't even think it's really compromised, because neither of us did something you didn't want to do. We didn't meet in the middle in terms of, I don't want to do that, but I will for you. It was, I'm getting to go, which is what I wanted to do. You weren't stopping me going, but you had some worries. And I said, yeah, if this is going to help you rest easy, then I'll keep in touch as and when I can. I can't promise the frequency and stuff, but I will. So going back to the point I think you made earlier on, that, you know, it takes the other person to respond in the right way. If you're in a similar situation, don't be saying, no, you're ruining my night, that's totally unreasonable. If I don't come home, then, you know, then something's wrong. Like, you both, if you have to approach it in the right way.
Yes, and I think it can be really overwhelming to think, oh, I need to ensure my, you know, walk away from, don't walk away from this episode thinking, oh, I need to make sure my partner's happy in marriage. How do I do that? Don't look at your whole marriage. Take each scenario and situation at a time. That might be, who's going to cook dinner tonight? You know, what does that mean? It might be something like this, an event. And think about what each of you needs. But you know, think about the needs on that. So in this situation, Rich's needs was to go and enjoy this event. Mine was to know that his safety was ensured. And yeah. we found a way together to make sure we both had the best version of that.
So it's important to think about where they're going. So you know, my first reaction to that may have been, why are you being so unreasonable? But I know that, I mean, I didn't think it was unreasonable, but I could have felt that way. But it's important to take that step back and think, where are they coming from on this? Why are you acting this way? Okay, well, that's coming from concern. Why are you concerned? Well, there was a fucking terrorist attack 2 months ago at a similar size, well, it's a smaller venue, but a similar type of thing at a concert. So you kind of put yourself in their position a little bit and say, what's driving this? Can I alleviate that concern? Rather than just, this is all about me and you're affecting my good mood about this. So both of you just need to approach it the right way. But to pick up on that point we put the pin in earlier about things that you would never ask them not to do. You wouldn't say, well, you can't go to that wedding that you're in. Or maybe not even, but it's a family wedding, or it's Super Bowl tickets, or it's a reunion concert, whatever. There are certain events in life that you'd say, oh, I can't ask her not to go to that. It's a big, big deal.
Job interviews.
You know. Right. So the question to ask yourself on a more micro day-to-day level, not all the time. I don't think everyone gets to do what they want all the time. But generally, if you apply that principle to an everyday scenario, so let's say it's he wants to go to see the football match, or she wants to go to, what is it?
A musical.
You want to go to Broadway or West End, whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be stuck with the kids or whatever the scenario might be. If that wasn't a musical you were going to, it was a wedding, or that was the day of the concert that I was going to, you would make it work. You'd say, do you know what, this is a one-off and I'll make it work. So if you can apply that principle to the more mundane, there probably is a solution there. Mm-hmm. Now you may be thinking, well, I don't want to do it every week. You don't have to do it every week. But, you know, the point I'm making is, it's so easy to say no to things. It's so easy to find the excuses for things. You can't do it because this is mildly inconvenient. When you think about it, like, what if you had no choice?
Mm.
And is it really inconvenient, or is it just not exactly what you want to do? Like, what is the
repercussion? Did you envision your Saturday morning looking different than that? And now they'd come in with their own agenda, and now you begrudge that.
I like today, right? So you kind of mentioned you weren't in today, and apparently I've done that husband thing of not really listening. So I knew you had something going on this morning.
A volunteering thing.
Yeah, but I didn't know how long you're going to be out. So,
to be fair, neither did I. I didn't know how long the event was.
You made it clear you did not attend.
I said to him twice, I'm volunteering Sunday morning, and afterwards, my friend that I'm volunteering with and I, we're going to go get lunch after. Right.
So I hadn't really heard the lunch bit, or I hadn't gone in, whatever. So this morning, I'm just heading out the door to go for a run.
I'm getting ready to leave.
And you leave, and I saw what came back. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure how it's going to go. Okay, you back for lunch? No, I've told you this. I was like, okay, fine. We didn't argue about it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I don't get to go out to lunch. I did tell you this twice this week. I don't have
dates. But what I was going to say was I had a choice in that moment. I could have said, well, what am I doing for lunch? What about my day? What, you know, this isn't what I had envisioned. But I didn't.
You said, is there anything for me to have for lunch? Yep, there's this. And this. Okay, have fun.
Yeah, so I came home from my run. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I had an unspecified amount of time that was at least until 1 o'clock on the basis you were going for lunch to do whatever I wanted, and I didn't mope about it. I got on with work and I, you know, had time with the dogs and stuff. But the point is, one, if you'd said to me, oh, I want to go and do this, I mean, I wouldn't have tried to stop you. I'd have been like, well, what am I going to do? And I'd have, well, yeah, I suppose I'll see if so-and-so is free. But I wasn't given a choice, and although you had told me earlier in my mind it was all a bit short notice, it was the morning, so I was like, okay. And I found something to do. So the point I'm making is your response to it proportionate? Is, like you said, is it just, well, it's not really how I pictured my Sunday, but have fun? Or, well, it's not really how I pictured my Sunday, and no, you're not doing it.
Like, yeah.
You know, you have two ways of doing it. And again, it's really important to say that I think how you respond is so dependent on where you are in the relationship. For us, we're in a really positive place. We've got no ill will towards each other. There's no...
That's what you think.
Yeah, but there's no... that I'm aware of, there's no resentment and all that. So the dialogue's pretty easy going at the minute. But if you are in a period where you're prickly, that's going to be, thanks for telling me that you're going out for lunch today. I did tell you, why aren't you listening? Well, maybe I was dealing with some other bullshit from you. Yeah, it's
and you probably were, to be fair, given some circumstances of things that have happened this week. Maybe you just...
Yeah, maybe I was but distracted. But the point is, you know, it's so, so easy when you're in that prickly phase for everything to set you off, and then you respond to how they respond, and then they respond to how you responded to them. And it just...
Spirals.
It spirals. Yeah. And one of you needs to put a line in the sand and say, look, we're at -2 and we need to get to 0 in this, so we're going to do it. And I just want to let you know, we're going to be worse. However it happens.
But I think that's starting with situation by situation. If you think about your whole marriage and contributing to one another's happiness, that can be really overwhelming and feel like you're not, because you can't ensure it all the time, but you need to be working towards it. And that's just taking the next scenario. Right, we have 3 kids' birthday parties next week. How are we going to, you know,
yeah,
whatever it is, the
and
situation.
Don't be thinking they don't deserve it or will they treat me like this. It's really hard, I think, if you're two sort of normal and good people, like, you know, then it's really easy for both of you to be in a bad place and react off that. But if one of you's really trying and you're being positive, like you said, you're taking situation by situation and you're being reasonable and you're doing everything right, they probably can't sit in that negative place for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, day one they will. And this is obviously dependent on how long the problem's been there.
Yeah.
If you're dealing with 10 years versus you've had a bit of a dodgy week, yeah, the first time you do it, they may be a little bit, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
What's going on? But by the end of that first week or that month, you know, if you keep doing it and they see that you're being nice, you're being reasonable, you're doing things for them, you're being reasonable with them, you're listening to them, it's really hard for them to stay in that place where they don't like you.
Yeah. Well, and I think also, you know, you want to like each other, you want to be in a good position, and so hopefully the motivation to get out of that rut is there, but it can be difficult to get going. But once you get your it's like anything,
momentum.
Whether that's, you know, weight loss or working out, and, you know, once you start to see changes, you're inspired to do more.
Mm.
And you might even find that happiness looks different than you might think. So, for example, like us, I really love, you know, period stuff, history stuff.
I don't.
When I say period drama.
yeah, not menstrual.
I'm really into periods. no, like I like period dramas. I like history. I like going to stately homes and castles and stuff. And Rich will go with me.
Castles are fine. Like I don't mind. I don't mind going to a castle occasionally.
Yeah, I could go to them every weekend.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion when you've seen one or two, you've basically covered it.
Or you wait a while until you go see another one. And it's
yeah.
Whereas, you know, that's something that I could do constantly, you know, and so it becomes...
Period dramas are not my thing.
Yeah, and so that then means that my happiness is me doing those things. It doesn't have to mean that he comes with me, because actually, if he does come with me, even if he's trying really hard to not complain, I can see on his face that he's bored as fuck.
And then
fuck.
You're really, really conscious of
and then I'm
to
really,
leave.
Oh, and like, oh, I can't stop and read every plaque that I want to read, and he seems annoyed, so then I'm not enjoying it to the full extent that I could.
And that's not because I am acting like a child. I can have a good face on and be like, no, it's fine, you take your time.
But I can still tell.
But you know it's not really my thing. So
and I can still tell.
You can,
so
you can enjoy yourself more if I'm not there.
So that meant that recently when the Downton Abbey movie came out...
yeah.
I went and saw it on my own. Didn't even ask you if you wanted to come. I might have said, that's not what you're not going to want to see that, are you? And you're like, nah. And I was like, okay, I'll see if I can get any friends to go. I didn't really have any friends that watched it. So I thought, okay. And I went, it was the first time I've gone to a film on my own.
But not the last.
No. It's opened a whole new wardrobe of Narnia for me. Like, fucking loved it. I had my stacks. I had no one sitting there going, what's going on? Who's that? You know, stuff like
that. I don't
like
do
that.
I don't talk in the cinema.
Only, well, no.
At home, I do.
The only time you express unhappiness in the cinema is if we're both not enjoying it, and then it's right, should we leave, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, for instance, your mum said she would go with me, but your mum's never watched Downton Abbey, so I knew if I took her, it'd be, what, who's that? Why are they reacting?
Yeah.
And I didn't, I just wanted to enjoy it. I had my sweets, I had my big soda, and I was happy. So that might mean then that, actually, you know what? She gets more out of this experience, or he gets more out of this experience if I'm not there. And then we do something really lovely together after. And so...
Yeah, give yourselves the opportunity to miss each other.
Yeah, and just give yourself time and space to enjoy the things that you've always enjoyed on your own. Like, something that I used to love doing, you know, when I was single and still living in America was just go to, you know, the local, well, not the local, but, you know, Barnes & Noble, big bookstore. I'd go to the Starbucks, get a huge coffee, and just wander. And that is uniquely something that you do on your own. You and I would, we browse bookstores. Well, we've been to
the bookstore, but we're like, I'm going to be in that section.
Yeah, because we really like different things. So
I'm not going to be in the Tudor section.
No, and, you know, I'm not going to be in the biography section. You know, I'm going to be in the fantasy and, you know, period stuff. You know, again, not menstrual. I love the periods. So I think it, just think about how to handle each situation as it comes. Why are you maybe motivated to say no, and, or not even if it's, even if it's not, you know, a hobby or event or something they want to do, even if it's just they'd like to go for a run and this time of day is best for them, and you're like, oh, I don't like that time of day because then it means I can't, you know, whatever it is, just start, pick one thing to start working on, and then there will be a ripple effect.
But on that example there of, oh, that's not a good time for me to run, like, not everything has to be done together. There's nothing, there are some things you could say, okay, well, you know, yeah, okay, let's do it at that time.
Oh, I didn't mean like that. I meant like, he likes to run first thing in the morning, but then that means I'm stuck with the kids, or
yeah,
not fine. That you're not running together.
Okay, yeah, fine. Well, let's say you are running together, okay, or whatever. But sometimes you can say, okay, well, yeah, I can go up a little bit earlier to match you. But other times you can say, okay, you do it when it's convenient for you, I do it when it's convenient for me. We've done both of those things.
We were both doing Couch to 5K, and I had to leave for work earlier than you. So I get out the door 45 minutes earlier to run. And
we
didn't run.
We intended to run together, but then we discovered, you know, we've got different size legs and we run at different speeds. And it was, I'll meet you back at the home. But we did leave home together, and we said, I'll meet you back at the house and stuff. So
it was something we did together. We just weren't at the same pace the whole time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a great example for marriage.
I remember waking up at 5:30 to go out with you. And I didn't need to be up that early. But I was like, yeah, I don't want you out on your own that early. And I'll get it out of the way and all that kind of stuff. But you don't have to do everything together. You can... Okay, fine. You do when it suits you, because you're still two individual people.
No, and sometimes we actually really enjoy not doing things together. And I think we probably like to do more together than a lot of couples. But there's certain things...
We're good people.
Yeah, I like you.
Yeah. I'm likable.
There's certain things that maybe we don't do that other couples do, and, you know, other way around. It's just finding what works for you as a couple, but I cannot state the importance enough. You're not going to find out what works for you as a couple unless you work towards it together. And it's, you know, you both want to achieve that. Like Rich said earlier, you know, well, this is just how I am. If you don't like me at my this, you don't deserve me at my that. Fuck that. Like, your partner gets all the shitty parts of you. You know, marriage is dirty and messy and ugly and not glamorous once the wedding's over at all. And, you know, you have to work at it. So you need to understand that as much in times of your relationship, you feel like, what about me? What about my needs? You need to also be thinking, what about him or her? What about their needs? Am I meeting that? You know, I've noticed, and chances are, if there's a need of yours that you really feel isn't being met, they probably have something too. It's so easy to get selfish in life, and I'm guilty of it. Rich is guilty of it. Most couples are guilty of it. You lose sight of what might be important to your partner because you're so focused on your own shit and your own job and your own this and your own responsibilities and what's important to you that it can be really difficult to remember. There is an entire other person who used to be completely independent of you, you know, going through the same shit.
And on that point, it's all, I think there's also the danger that, and I don't know, episode, we have mentioned this before, you know, I think the episode about not completing each other, but complementing each other, that you shouldn't be giving up the things that make you happy, your hobbies, your interests and things. Too many people give them up when they get in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then you're only going to become unhappy and you're going to hold them responsible, but it's your fault. You know, they don't deserve that resentment. That's on you. And I think that just kind of dovetails in with what you were saying of, yes, think about what your partner needs and what you can do to help, but equally, both of you need to maintain the things that interest you and your hobbies and be an interesting person. Those things will help you be happier and more fulfilled and content, which benefits the relationship. And, you know, so you're kind of weaving everything together.
Yeah.
You're weaving who you are, who you want to be, who they are, and growing together. I think really it all comes back to that quote you said of, you know, it's not me versus you, but it's us versus them.
Everything.
Yeah. You are a team. And if you then view it as, okay, well, you want to go out and do that thing, that kind of has an impact on this other thing for us. But you know what? We're going to work it out together. What can we do together to find out something that means you can go and I don't feel left holding the baby, so to speak?
Yeah, and I think people can get really addicted to denying people of things.
It is easy to say no.
It's easy. Some people have a really hard time saying no, but it is easy to just be, no, we're not doing that. Especially with someone like your partner that you can take for granted. Like, not that you take their value for granted or what they mean for you, but just that maybe you don't think about their needs as much as you maybe would, you know, as if your boss said, could you do this? You go, yes, sir.
How? Yeah, and the boss is a great example of what I was saying earlier on, where there are some things when you would find out what that solution is.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, when your boss says, do this, you go, oh, shit. You find the solution.
Yeah.
With your partner, 9 out of 10, you're more likely to be the one saying, no, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
But if the solution's not there genuinely, then fine. That's when they have to say, oh, do you know what, that's a real shame, but okay, there's nothing we can do. But you have to first analyse whether there is something you can do, and if there is, then they can do it.
Yeah, you made me lose my train of thought, though.
I didn't know you had one.
Yeah, because I was talking and you said, yeah, on that, let me barrel you
about
over.
About the boss.
I don't remember now.
You were talking about bosses.
Yeah. Yes, I remember what I was going to say now.
Good.
Yeah, so it's easy to get in the habit of just denying each other things because you feel like for whatever reason it's difficult. We actually have a really hard time saying no to one another when it's...
Yeah, we both want each other to.
Yeah, we're actually quite indulgent of one another, but not to an extent where we're not reasonable with each other. We're not indulgent in, oh, someone said something mean to me, or I didn't like that. Well, what happened? Well, this is what happened. Well, yeah, I can see why they said that. You know, mm-hmm. We're not, creating this world of where we can do no wrong. And yeah. I think the world is becoming that kind of place where people can do no wrong. You know, some parents, you know, really believe that their children are perfect and you know, defend everything. You know, as an ex-teacher, I know that some parents cannot bear the thought or even believe the thought that their child can do something out of order, but they can, they're human, they're flawed, you know? And so we're all very, the world's in a weird place, I guess is what I'm saying. So, you know, be that balance for one another, that safe harbor, that realistic, you know, devil's advocate, which I wish maybe you do a little bit less, but hey ho. And that purveyor of their happiness, like,
yeah.
And it feels good when you see that, you know, your partner's doing something that makes them happy and they come home revitalized and happy and grateful that they got to do it. Not necessarily grateful to you, just grateful that they got the opportunity to do something. And then just you making it easier for them to do it, you know, adds to it. And that's so valuable. Like, when I see you do something that makes you really happy, I feel so good.
Good.
Same, babe.
Yeah, obviously the same. Yeah. I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
You say that every time. It's like your catchphrase.
There's nothing wrong with a catchphrase. We can get t-shirts, but it doesn't.
That's a good place to wrap it up. But yes, no, I think it is. So that was kind of a...
But I do think this is an important episode. I think, you know, it may be worth a second listen.
Maybe.
Well, I just think maybe there are some things in here that... Well, there's going to be, you know, one of two types of people listening to this. I think you're either going to be more where we are, whereas we talk quite respectfully and we're understanding and there's that empathy and stuff. And that's good. And then, you know, maybe what we've spoken about can just be something you remember for if things start to change. But then you may be in a relationship where you're in that more negative and you have to work to overcome it. And then I think some of the things we've touched on and the examples we've given maybe worth having a couple of notes.
Hopefully helpful.
Hopefully helpful.
Really, just be nice.
Treat them like you love them.
Yeah, be good to each other. You know, you got together and you got married if you're married for a reason. And if you've been together a long time, there's a reason you've stayed together for a long time. So, you know.
Remember why you got together.
Yeah, and contribute to one another's happiness, really.
And remember, I suppose on that, remember that when you got together, you didn't do it with the intention of, they're too happy, I'm going to bring them down.
How dare you?
You know, like you didn't, that wasn't your intention. And if that's what's actually happening in your marriage, then that might be a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah, I need to examine that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Have a great week, guys.